You're going to want to put your headphones on for this one. Today we are in California to meet up with Joel P. West. Joel is a designer, artist, and composer who has created the soundtrack for iconic films and shows like Just Mercy, Short Term 12, Chef's Table, and most recently he composed the soundtrack for Marvel's Shang-Chi. You'd think that by working on some of the largest film projects in the world, one would gain a sense of arrival. And yet when you talk to Joel, you get a peek behind the curtain to be reminded that in creative work, there is no ultimate arrival, just a continued drive to make things better. It's funny to think about scoring a film. Music enhances the story and can even transport you into a moment where you feel like you are a part of what's happening. It's a humble effort. You must be willing to contribute your part to make the whole thing work. And when the music is right, it's magical. Things feel more alive, more colorful, beautiful, subtle, emotional. Music enhances our feelings and can even push us to feel new ways. Honestly, talking to Joel is like that. He's talented, humble, easygoing, and is able to add texture in just the right parts of the conversation to help you see things in a new way. This conversation is full of insights gained by someone who leans into the creative process wholeheartedly and frankly just makes things better. He was gracious enough to play a song for us as well. Today you're in for a treat and we know that you'll enjoy. Cheers and see you down the road.
Yeah.
Cool. Joel, thanks for being on Roadcast.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's so good to see you.
It's amazing. Thanks for taking the time. I thought an interesting place to start, as someone who scores films, there's like a, when I think about it, you know, like love kind of peeking in behind the process to go like, when scoring a film specifically, like what is the design process, you know? I know that's a really broad, but kind of orienting people to the work you've done. Like when you just start to like break it out, I'm guessing there's like these blocks and, but.
For me, it's kind of an interesting answer just because I truly don't totally know what other composers do. Okay. It's one of the strange things about the world that I work in is that I'm typically the only one on a project. It would be rare for me to be on a project with another composer because it's technically or usually just one of us on a job. And so I'm kind of the music person for the project, and that means that I don't ever really see what other people do when they're doing it. And the way I got into it is fairly unorthodox. Like I didn't go to school to score films. I didn't go to film school. I didn't even really grow up watching movies.
Oh, I love it.
You know, I just was making music on my own, writing songs, and kind of started gravitating towards stuff that felt a little bigger. And I love strings, and you know, my entry point into it was just writing lyrics and kind of discovering the world and myself that way. And then it kind of went into this zone of like, wow, there's music that makes me feel things I can't even put words to, you know? And so ultimately I'm kind of a hack, but I think that's pretty common actually, I'm finding.
Yeah.
And when I start a project, I often feel like I have no idea what is going to happen and if I can even do it. Like I can't even remember what I did last time. Like I'll listen back to something the last movie I did, and I'm like, how did I even do that? I don't even really.
That's amazing. Know. And there's something insanely refreshing about, I guess I'm thinking now through like, so, I was thinking through like Short Term 12 and then also like Just Mercy and now Shang-Chi, and how so very different all of these films are, and like even the types of instruments and the types of cultures you're representing, you know,
totally.
Like that just seems like an insanely complex.
It is, but it feels like the same thing to me, like because it's especially because those are made with our same little team.
Yeah.
They're different flavors kind of, but it's like the same, we went at it the same way each time, you know.
You said same little team. Will you talk about our same little team a little
bit? Yeah. So let's see. Destin and I we started making like really small projects together. We lived in San Diego. This is like, I guess more
1970,
than a decade.
Like.
Yeah, 72, summer of 72. so then like Dustin made his first feature in San Diego just on like a few thousand dollars, mm-hmm. like friends, just basically how much it cost to rent the camera.
Yeah.
And largely the team that made, or most of the team that made that went on to make Short Term 12, which was like the first time that Dustin had like, you know, like outside funding,
actual money.
And like, yeah, I mean, not a lot of it, yeah. but enough of it. Some actors, like some like sort of quote unquote real actors, you know, who all are crazy now, from that movie. But, yeah. And so the team that made it, I think Short Term 12, really we've done, it's Dustin, his director of photography, Brett Pollock, his editor, Nat Sanders, mm-hmm. And me, and then a couple producers, Asher Goldstein and Ron Nager. There's just like this little crew that kind of started a snowball. It's yeah. picked up. There's some other people who've kind of like joined, yeah. and there's some, a little bit of a revolving door of other people who kind of come in and yeah. out. But
is that a common story? Like, that feels so like, with, oh, like, hey, we started like making little films together and we've just rolled together. And now we just finished a Marvel movie. Maybe not the Marvel movie, but like production, I mean, no, sets.
It is pretty typical. This stuff is, like I said, it's a very weird world. I don't know what how other people yeah. approach this work, and I don't totally know the workflow. I'm kind of getting a little more familiar as I like
yeah.
get up into higher ranks in it, I guess. But, part of it, I used to think that's like, we're just imposters, kind of just like, oh, we just did this.
I love
we
that.
Just made it's these so little good. Things, you know, and yeah. we just came up. And I kind of realized that it's just like any creative stuff. It's part of the cool thing about it is there isn't a way to do it. There's a technical way to make a film. You know, there's a lot of just like sort of expertise you need just to get the thing done. But why you're doing it, how you're doing it in terms of just the ethos and what you're trying to ultimately make, it is kind of the Wild West. Everybody's doing it a different way. Yeah. And we're not that unique to kind of have our own little way of working.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I kind of, for me too, as a creative, I always feel like if you really know what you're doing, you're not going to do something interesting. You need to be a little bit afraid to feel like, I don't know what is about to go down or if I can do it. But the reason I like film scoring, and I guess to go back to the original question, is it's always a new puzzle. And
yeah.
it very much is, as a songwriter, it's very refreshing to just get, it feels more like a design project because there is a specific need and a specific kind of end goal, but it's not pre-prescribed. It's like, we don't really know what's gonna work, but we're yeah. gonna know if it's not working. And so I would say that it's like, it has to do with a lot of trial and error, a lot of just open-ended exploring yeah. and just throwing stuff at the wall. A lot of times, I'll get a scene or I'll kind of get a first script and I'll kind of be like, okay, I know I have an idea of what's going to work for this. It's
yeah.
going to be really cool. And I'll make it and it doesn't work at all. And then that becomes a starting place to go, okay, why doesn't that work? And then to adjust from there
yeah.
and then just kind of keep exploring and going down the rabbit hole.
So does the film come to you in pieces, or is it like, hey, we've shot the whole of it and then it comes to you? Or is it like, what's that?
Yeah, so there are a lot of composers that come just the very end, mm-hmm. and a film will cut their whole movie with other music and just kind of figure out generally what's working, and then have a composer come in at the end and replace everything with something original that can be owned by the movie or
gotcha.
The show, and you know, maybe has a little bit more of a cohesive sound. For me, I really like to start, you know, they say you make a movie three times, you write it, you shoot it, then you edit it. And each time it kind of goes through,
yeah.
you know, you think, you know, it's going to work, and then it's a little bit different, and, you know, you kind of, refine it as it goes. And so music wise, I like to do the same thing. I tend to thrive most when I can start with just a script and start working on music before they even shoot.
Mm.
And so it's kind of a matter of being able to work on it for a while, put it down, come back to it, which yeah. I also think just creatively building in a way to have time to get away from the work and come
yeah.
back to it's always really huge. So typically what I do is if I am working with a director mm-hmm. Who kind of has the time in mind to think about music before they shoot, which not all of them do. Luckily, Destin Cretton does, and he loves doing that. It's just kind of like, I'll just make a bunch of stuff based on the script and based on scenes in the script that seem like, okay, these are going to be kind of the big music moments. This is probably going to be like, you know, the flagship music pieces are probably going to be for this scene or,
yeah.
you know, whatever. It's often at the end of the movie. And I'll just make a bunch of stuff. Sometimes being like, I'll just make it because even if it's wrong, it's helpful to know why it's wrong or to throw it at the director and go, how does this feel? They go, yeah, this feels too much like this, or this excites me, or like this, I like this instrument, but I'm going to want something that's more mysterious or more, you know, just whatever, kind of finding some language. Music's very weird to talk about before it exists. So you kind of,
fascinating. Like it's this invisible art form.
Yeah. And you often think you're talking about the same thing. And so a lot of times, like, no, the first step is just to see, are we talking about the same thing? Yeah. I'll just make some stuff, throw it at them.
Are you typically on like a piano or a guitar? Or is it like, are you just writing the music? Or
it really depends on the project, because it depends on just kind of what the project's wanting. I mean, usually I'm using a lot of like software stuff to just mock things up, like fake strings, you know, fake sounds that sound okay, good enough to
get a sense.
Yeah, to kind of get a feel for what's going to work. Yeah, so I keep it pretty simple. This is my setup for both songwriting and for film score. But generally speaking, what I have going here, it looks a little complicated, but it's really not. It's just I run Pro Tools. Composers work in different software, but I tend to use Pro Tools. I have templates set up for each project I'm doing. So these right here are different instruments. These are MIDI instruments, so I can hear like, so that's a harp, but here's like cellos. And I kind of have this, you probably can't hear it in the on the camera, but I have this kind of a template that I built before I started the movie that has everything kind of pre-mixed. All the instruments I'm going to use for this score, they're all here and just easy to grab. And then for each cue, in film music world, we call a piece of music a cue. I'll kind of like set up a little mini template for that. This is usually video. I can't show it because, you know, but typically the movie is synced up here. I have markers for different scene moments that either I've marked I want to have a change at, or the director said, you know, we want to feel a shift right here. And so I'll build this out. And then, so it's really all it is I'm just using this keyboard to like draw in music notes. Over here you can see everything. This will play too.
And is this like, keep going.
This is something from Shang-Chi. It's from like a low point in the movie, and you can just see it hit like, so these are fake instruments. You can kind of see, I can visually see these, and it's kind of fun. You can like move these, move them around, whatever. I'm a very visual person. I started in art and design before I got serious about music. And so I'm very I like color coding, and I kind of like things to be just visual. And so this kind of helps me too, just to be able to see, zoom out and be able to like see the piece of music. I'm like, have to remember how to use this. I've been working a little bit. I mean, that's pretty much it. I do a little bit of recording in here, but most of my work, I just mock it up here and we go record it somewhere else.
So that's it. So you're mocking it all up here and then.
Yeah. And so, and this is also, you know, once you record something, it's hard to edit and change it. And so using this, like this, these are all the notes I have inputted into this cue right now. And I can, it's all open-ended. I can change it if the scene length changes, or then we just get notes or just want to take it a different direction. I can start here and everything's fully editable. It's just like, it's all open-ended. This piece actually has some like really pretty string writing that I've kind of always wanted to do. I've tried it with smaller groups, so I've never had the resources to have, you know, it's very expensive to record this music, so getting to have the resources to make something that's full orchestral strings and just go really big and emotional with it. Like, this is actually kind of one of my favorite pieces that I wrote for the movie.
Can we hear it?
Yeah. I mean, I can show you this, and I can also show you just like the actual, this would be the fake.
Yeah, this is you, like the design. Yeah, this is the...
We already heard a little bit of this, but we can listen through some of this and then I can show you the final
iteration. Yeah, I love that.
We'll listen to maybe half of this and then we never used any of this.
How much do you feel like didn't get used? Like if you were to think about it.
We recorded about 45 minutes of stuff that's not in there. I can zoom out over here too. You can kind of see that tracking.
Oh, yeah. You can see it coming.
So, yeah, one of my favorite things from these sessions is this string stuff right here that's just all kind of ascending together.
So you're like watching your music overlaid on that, you know, like, is it
in what way?
I guess I'm thinking about like just listening to this for the first time and going like imagining you're composing, then you're watching the like also watching it and there's you're trying to match that or bring something out to at the director's like, you know, what they want. But I guess the question is how much did the visuals like inform
100%. That's all. It's all a little. It's a little funny to show you this without picture because
it's so.
All
married.
I'm doing is trying to find the right music for that, and sometimes it's just like first go. It's just like boom. That just feels great, and then sometimes it's just like a grind to try and figure it out. And a lot of I think this is true for probably any creative. A lot of where I'm at in my career is just getting to a point where I know whether or not something is good and being able to kind of remove my ego from it and make something that I like, but then I'll watch it. I'm like, I know that's not good. It's not working. It's not special yet. It's not functioning correctly. It's not doing what the director asked. And so I just sit here and I just try things until it does.
Gotcha.
And a lot of it is just trying to basically stay right here until this matches my taste and my sort of like quality level I'm going for, you know.
That's great. Love it.
So it's, yeah, it's, but it really is with film stuff is really like picture is driving it. It's just, is it functioning? Is it helping the, what I'm seeing yet? And that's kind of mysterious sometimes. Sometimes it's working for me and then it's doing something the director didn't want it to and whatever. But so here's that same piece of music with, I'm trying to think, 50 string players at Abbey Road, which is pretty cool. So it's like the same thing, but it just has like,
oh my gosh,
you know.
Oh yeah, turn that up.
Kind of get a sense of what the director kind of needs to listen through, a little cheesiness of the fake instruments and stuff to know that it's going to feel like this once we, you know, it's not dramatically different, but it feels
so different.
It just hits your heart a little different, you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love how like, I don't know.
So I'm a big fan of a big group of musicians playing quietly. Cause you get that big room full orchestra and you just want them to go huge cause it's fun to do that. but I love hearing a giant group of people all playing really delicately. It has like a real power to it. So this is a understated cue from this movie, but it's like one of my favorites just because I got to like harness that energy of just having everybody play really delicate, but in that big room with the full group. It's like pretty special to me.
I think what's interesting is, so I watched this most recent movie and going into it going like, all right, you know, I'm listening for the music, you know, I'm going like, oh, this is so interesting. I'm just, and how it was near impossible because you get sucked into the story, right? And you can't think about the music. And just thinking about that interplay of the, like, what you're doing is this, right, this collaborative intersection of art form that it doesn't disappear, but it almost is like there to enhance another art. You know, you have this visual storytelling, yes. And then you're going, how am I making this come to life more or get this feeling across more? But it's just this really, so it makes sense, one, just working tightly with the director, but just, I think that's fascinating too, of like,
yep.
Do you want ultimately, like, you don't want the music to disappear, but you're trying to get people lost in a moment, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of it is, I think film is crazy because there's so many disciplines going into the same thing, and, you know, you're making a stew, and it's just like designing a poster. Like, you can't have everything be equal importance, or you just, like, overwhelmed and lost.
There has to be a hierarchy to it.
And so that's even often a conversation is, do we want people to think about the music here or not? And sometimes, like, we totally want people to be like, the music is sick right here. Just turn it up loud. And, you know, usually that's going to be over like a montage or some kind of scene without a lot of dialogue or without a lot of things needing to be explained. Like this Marvel movie, there's so many times there's like really complicated things are being explained. There were times that were like, had some music that was working really well just in the way it felt, but it was just too distracting. So we're just kind of trying to go in and do surgery. How do we just remove things to make sure that you just don't think about it? You just feel it. You just don't even know it's there. Mm-hmm. And other times we're like, let's turn it up loud and make a big showcase of it. And that's, coming from like being in bands, it's interesting film. It takes a lot, like a good team has just no egos, and that everybody just wants the final thing to be good and knows that that is what is going to be best for everybody. You know, like, you don't always want a drum solo going on the whole time during the whole song, you know?
Yeah.
And so like there was a couple, for our team who made Shang-Chi, is like, we're very new to the fight sequences and just these crazy action things. And there was a learning curve for us of just even figuring out, some of these scenes are so much going on that it's like trying to make sure that the audience knows where to track. And, like you saw the movie, like there's this big, really cool scene where people are fighting up on this scaffolding, and it's just crazy. Yeah. It's a crazy scene. Like, it's one of the coolest. I think it's so cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Then the camera work, and it's just like a big dance almost. But some of it was really confusing, and they actually realized when they started putting sound effects in, boosting the sound effects of just some of the characters and some of the action really helped your eyes go, oh, this is who I'm tracking, because there's just so much going on.
100%. Yeah, I could totally feel that, because even with that, like, minimal sound effects, whatever, you're still, that scene is so hard to comprehend.
It's overwhelming.
Because you're trying to be scared for all the characters, like, flipping in and out of this, like, you know, like the scaffolding up in the, so you're like, it is disorienting. So I could totally see, I never thought about that. So
yeah.
Like, hey, so we want the music dialed in so that we're not overwhelming the.
Yeah. So it's fun to think about music in that way, both in the piece of music that I'm making and then also just how we're using it in the film. And sometimes I'm making something that is too bold to be turned down low. Like, it's weird to have like a really like bold piece of music just kind of going low in the background. And so when we kind of realize sometimes, yeah, the music is going to need to be quieter in this scene because it's just there's too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of go, well, we should probably simplify the music too, because it's kind of drawing attention to itself. We should just make it, honestly, less interesting sometimes. Like, we need to just make it flatter and kind of save it for, pace it out, you know? And in this movie too, we also, you know, we are trying to develop themes that you kind of click with, whether you notice them consciously or you just feel them. And so there was a few like really cool musical things we had going on throughout the movie that over time we ended up just going, it's just too much. Like, I love that
crazy thing
and it's so cool and it works so good for that character, but
it's just, there's too many things. We got to pick the very best ones and just stick with those and play them a few more times.
That's got to be so hard.
Yeah.
Like to have that and be like, this is super cool. It's working. It's amazing. But it's not serving the overall, like,
yeah, you know, it is weird. It's for me, it's nice to kind of go when I get done with the film. I always like to make an album because I have all this cool stuff that just I found, but it just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh man, that was so cool. But I get it doesn't work, you know, and ultimately, yeah, like I was saying, this a good creative team, I think everybody is just ready to just go, yep, just I love it, but it doesn't work. So just
like so refreshing about that, like no ego when you're creating something and it's like everyone just drops it and it's like, how do we make this the best? I know that can't always happen. Like,
yeah, well, you kind of find too, it ends up working better for you if you, you know, even if you're looking for the credit, because the whole thing gets better.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you're a part of something really that's really solid and interesting versus just you know, there are it is an interesting thing as a composer, because there's a lot of movies that the goal is that you didn't know there was ever music. You just didn't even know it because you just were in the story and the music helped you through that story. And
yeah,
sometimes I think when I was first starting, that felt a little bit like, oh, come on, you didn't hear my like cool thing. Like spent so long on that, but it's kind of, it is cool to be a part of a team where everybody's feeling like, yeah, you just gotta, you know, we gotta kill your cool shot that you made and your cool edit you made or whatever. Cause it's just not like serving the greater thing. And also just the, like I was saying, that focus thing, there's so much to, you know, we work on these things. I think any creative thing, you spend so much time on it that you know it so well and it seems so clear to you. But when somebody's watching or listening or whatever, consuming a piece of creative work for the first time, you got to like walk them through it. Like, what am I supposed to be paying attention to? And kind of trying to figure out that, you know, like just that path you're making for somebody to kind of be intrigued by the work and get into it. And then, kind of feel comfortable in it and not just feel like they're just like being shotgunned all this crazy stuff.
So like before the movie comes out, there is a lot of that kind of testing.
We do so many screenings. Yeah.
Oh.
And do feedback, do questionnaires and do a focus group. And a lot of times too, it's like people will be stuck on something in one screening. And they're just super confused about something or they don't like something. And then we're like, but it's so clear, you know?
Yeah.
And then do another screening and they're still confused. And we're like, but come on, it's so clear.
It's right
and
there.
And then you just have to go, it's not, because nobody's getting it. So we can keep talking about how we made this thing that's so clear, but nobody's getting it. So we just have to trust that and go, all right, well, like we're not right just because we conceptually think, well, they should get it. They're not getting it. So like that's on us. And so we do a lot of that. And I think that's like, that's a huge thing, I think, with any creative work.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you putting this... There's stuff you just want to make because you just want to make it. But if you're trying to make something for somebody else to experience and have especially a specific experience with it, you got to see if they're actually having that and take your ego out of it and just see, like, if it's not working, it's not working,
so
you know,
helpful.
And listen.
One of my favorite shows is Chef's Table.
Yes.
And you've done an episode or two I don't know, like, maybe some of the differences. I don't know if it's juxtaposing it to film, but in that, it's like you're bringing out like these characteristics of a specific chef, or I don't know, I'd love to know how that was. And
Chef's Table is the funniest thing to watch with no music.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty much slow-mo shots of people cutting food and
that's
stuff.
That's it, you know? But there's something about it. I can hear it in my head, that opening.
Yeah, it's great, so much energy to it. I mean, I think like it's really fun to work on that show because they very much, made a choice to use music as a huge part of the storytelling.
Maybe that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just like it's there to just kind of help, or sometimes you don't notice it or whatever. But Chef's Table, all of the energy and the arcs and the ups and downs really come from the music, because cut of that show with no music is very much just feels like you're in a kitchen, like a quiet kitchen. You know, there'll be some like nature shots and stuff, but it's really fun. They're really bold. How they use music for, like, we can just get so much energy or get so much emotion out of just going big with the music. And they have space for it too, because it's kind of a slow meditative show. And so a lot of times music's just makes things just a little too busy. Like, you can make something really cool, but there's just too much going on and you need to, kind of like we were talking before, you need to focus in and what am I supposed to be paying attention to? And Chef's is fun because It's very slow. There's a lot of space even between, it's often like voiceover, but there's even space between lines, or there's just a lot of air. Yeah. And so you get to kind of fill it with cool little treats and kind of create like a real like narrative just with the music. And it's really fun.
I think
it's
a lot of music. Not knowing that like the language to use, that is exactly what happens. Like it's a main character, the music drives it.
I do think that one thing I've learned a lot in this world, working on something where I put so much of myself and it's so personal to me, yet it's not really my decision what makes the final cut, or, you know, sometimes I show up to the dub stage and they're just muting drums or muting strings or something. And I'm like, whoa, like you're just doing whatever you want to that, you know? And it's kind of jarring because it's like my personal project, yet it's really not. I'm working on somebody else's vision, and there's the goals are it's way beyond what I want from it. And so I've learned a lot, I think partially by just watching my peers. Dustin is very good at this, of learning how to go, okay, if what I made is not working for the powers that be or for the audience or whatever, then I need to find something that works for them, but that I also still love. And that's always the puzzle to me, because I can always kind of go, a lot of times I'll just get straight up ideas from a director or producer, like, hey, we should just make it, we should just put a bunch of drums in here, you know? And I'm like, yeah, like, I don't really want to do that. And so I'm like, okay, I get what I have to learn, what do they want from this that they're not getting? And how can I find a way that I'm still excited about this? Because a lot of times I'm like, I really love what I made. I really wish that would just go in the movie, but it's not going to go in like that because I don't want it. So how do I find something new that's going to satisfy them that I also still am just as excited about? And that's usually the puzzle. And I feel like when everybody's doing that, trying to be true to their artistic voice while still making sure it works for everybody and that everybody's happy with it, then the end product gets really good, because nobody's just going, okay, well, you don't like my thing, I'll just water it down. And, you know, like it's more going, okay, I'm the one that's been trusted to come up with an interesting musical vision for this. What I made, I love it, I think it works, but it's not working for everybody else. So like, how do I still get excited about just seeing this another way? Not worrying about the specific suggestions that are being given to me, and more just going like, okay, what's underneath that? What do they need from this that they're not getting? And just finding my own way to do it where I'm like, okay, I'm still pumped on this.
You're a multidisciplinary designer and artist. So you have like singer-songwriter, graphic designer, scoring films. Maybe some of the like common threads between them, and then, or maybe another angle on it would be just like the moment when you're, do you feel like you're taking this lane and it's like, hey, this is what I'm doing now? Or is it still like, you know what, maybe I'll still do this, or maybe I'll do that, or I don't know, you're just a really talented person. So just going like, is this the next couple weeks?
I used to like trip out on just being like, I love photography and I love music, and like, I don't know if I would like I like design, but I don't really like working for clients. tricky thing of design, you don't want to work for clients. And I think for me, I'm at a place where I just like making things. And I think having I'm so grateful to get to make creative work that I actually really personally care about for a day job. Just feels like a dream. I think for me, it's taken the pressure off everything else, where I had a phase, I think that everybody in LA has this, I felt like I couldn't take photos because I'm not a photographer, I'm a music guy.
Yeah.
It's weird. And then I go back to Oregon and like my hometown friends are just like playing music on the weekends, like screwing around in Photoshop, doing something fun just because it's fun. And then I'm like, all my friends in LA are like infinitely good at these things, but we're all like intimidated to like participate in
them.
Say,
oh, I'm a photographer
too. Legitimate.
Yeah.
And so I think in the last few years, I think having kids has kind of helped with this too. I just am like, I think having like a work, like a career to get to do one side of creative work takes the pressure off of everything else I like doing, where I can just do it for fun.
Love
that. And like I've been just shooting a ton of film photos and it's just fun. I don't care. It doesn't matter if they're good. A lot of times I'm almost like, I don't even need to turn the roll in because I already got what I wanted out of it, which is just to go walk around at the camera and just meditate and be, you know, at stuff through a lens, and just I like doing it.
Yeah. You know? Will you talk more about that? I know we talked a little bit ahead of time on this, but just the like protecting your creative energy
and yet being in it, it is your job, and going like, hey, we need you to be creative now, like on tap creativity, you know, what do you do to keep you in that frame, or, you know, what's your process?
Yeah. You know, a lot of times I wake up, I'm like all fresh, like get a cup of coffee. And then I like look at my email. I'm like, oh, I can like, I should get, it's like easy and fun to just blast through and just get all that done. But it's like, I could do that later with no brain left. So I'd just be like, that's
save it.
It's easy to do. I could get myself into this for 2 hours right now, but just push that off because I can do that tonight when I'm ragged.
Yep.
Like, what am I, you know? And a lot of times too, I'm like, okay, tomorrow I got to do this thing. And then I wake up, I'm like, actually, I kind of want to take a stab at this drum thing I was thinking about, you know? And I'm like, I'm just feeling it. So I'll just go to that, you know, and just see it out, and then just kind of like revolve around to those things. That's usually my main trick. I love
that.
Trick.
It seems super helpful. And like you said, it's like, there's something intuitive about doing that, but then talking it out and doing like, yeah, you're like,
so it's not just like come up with a cool idea right now, you know, like it kind of just lets it a little bit.
Yeah. Lets it breathe.
Yeah. And also kind of trying, like I was saying before too, I'm always trying to build time away from the work, cause it's so hard to see what you're making if you're just staring at it all day.
Yeah.
So just trying to like make something, put it away, move on, get your brain into something else, and then look at it tomorrow and see whether or not it's good. You know, like always call like the bad midnight ideas. I think I got this from a skateboarder, pumpkins. Like it's a Cinderella thing. Like at midnight, everything turns into a pumpkin. You know, you basically would be in it. You're like, this is so good. Oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever made. This is crazy. This is like, I can't wait to show this to everybody. They're going to freak out.
Yeah.
And then you like go up. To bed and you wake up and you're like, that's not that good. You know? So it's like, kind of trying to build in time for that too, because a lot of times you're on deadline and I'll get like jazz. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna send this in, and then I'll send it in, and then I'll listen back like the next day, and I'm like, oh man, I like
that is so relatable.
Yeah, I hit an email like, I don't know.
Hey,
like,
guys, I was a little pumped on that one.
Yeah, no pressure. I think that's maybe a little wild. So like, yeah, just trying to like break it up and find my own way to kind of just keep things moving and just don't get stuck. I even in my workspace too, I'm like finally graduated to having a separate workspace. That's not like, it is a part of my house, but it's not like a bedroom. It's like at least a, you know, like a separate area. And if I'm like, I used to just make myself stay in like at the computer, at the piano, and just like, until I get this, I'm not leaving here. I'm not going to the party. I'm not doing anything until I get this idea done. Now I'm kind of more like, if it's like not going well, I'm always getting out of here. I don't want to like, I don't want to get used being spinning my wheels in here. So just kind of
like let that be the space where stuff is flowing.
That's not going on right now. So I'm just going to get out of there. And then I'll come back later and just kind of like preserve that space.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's super helpful. Knowing that you're a singer songwriter too, would love to like maybe capture a song, or maybe talk to us a little bit about like your songwriting process. I know it can be different for, you know, songs, and but if there's something there, and then maybe like pick a song and a story. Love to hear like the story behind it, maybe hear it.
The song I was thinking of playing, actually, I remember it was like a big moment for me realizing just how powerful getting away from something is, because I really liked the song, and I was feeling like this is getting tighter and tighter, and this is like, I think I've kind of found what it is. And I got away from it, and like, I think I was working on a movie or something, and then it came back and opened it up. And in 10 minutes, I just chopped out like a minute of the song. I'm like, it doesn't need to be there. You know, it's just one of those things. It's kind of like, oh, I liked it. I want to show that off because it's cool. But as then an outsider coming back to it, I'm like, it just doesn't need that, you know?
Man, so
just
being able to
just cut it just like that, be like, I don't even care. It's just,
like becoming an outsider to your own work, I think is so interesting, of just like trying to keep that discipline for yourself, of like being objective about it and just creating space, paying attention to the energy.
And then I also like, you know, for me too, songwriting, I'm so journalistic with my songwriting, where I'm like trying to capture a very specific experience or feeling that I have in the world, and trying to offer that out to people, because people have done that for me. They're just writing songs and then I relate to it in a certain way that's very helpful to me, or I just click with, or sends me off into some sort of a interesting frame of mind or some kind of a healing process. And so it's also kind of like, a lot of times, like the first version of a song is just, it's very raw and it's very immediate of things that I'm really feeling. And then I come back in 6 months and half of it, I'm still like, ooh, yeah, I like, that's very true to me. And the other, I'm like, I kind of got over that, you know, like I'm like not as tripped out on that.
Totally. So good. What song you want to sing?
I want to sing this song, Available Light, which I wrote for my mom. and I wrote it. I had a set of songs that became an album called Smaller, and it was a unique way of writing in that I mostly wrote the music without really knowing what the songs were about yet, which usually I'm kind of writing lyrics alongside. And then I took this camping trip to Big Sur by myself. We were pregnant with our first baby, so I knew that going on like a solo camping trip is probably like my opportunity for that was probably winding down, which I think I was correct about that. And I took my dog up to Big Sur, and I was kind of had the intent, I'm gonna go camping for a few nights with the dog and just like see, I don't know, just be solo for a few days, mm-hmm. and then and try and figure out kind of what each of these songs are gonna generally be about.
Yeah.
And then one of the songs ended up just being about that trip. Like I was like, you know, like that the trip in itself became like a kind of a meta thing that where I'm truth. Like, I came to find what these songs are about. And then one of them just ended up being like, well, this trip is significant just in the simplicity of it, you know? And then it ended up being, just feeling, I was thinking of my mom and just relating to her as a peer, but also as her son. And then thinking about just that I would love, you know, when you're just in a place and you're like, God, I just want to show this to, you just think of people, it's like a cool, like love letter. When you think of somebody, you're just like, I wish they could see this because they would love this.
Yeah.
Feeling that way. And then also just like kind of becoming ready to, or like getting ready to become a parent, like kind of starting to get my headspace in that thing of being like, man, it's crazy to realize how much my mom knows me and knows me in ways that I don't know myself. And I'm about to kind of embark on that with a person I don't know yet. Yeah. It was just kind of a cool thing. I was just kind of like, well, this is a song. Like what I'm like in the act of a song right now. Yeah. So that's
the one. So beautiful.
Thanks.
It is. I'm like, that's so good. And I think it's a good place to stop too. I mean, listen to the song, but just want to genuinely say thanks. Like,
yeah, man,
for meeting up and doing this. I think there's, I don't know, it's just always like super rich and full, like keen insights, and just appreciate what you do. And
it's so good to connect, man.
Mama, I mean to write you more often, took the dog up the coast, man, I think you'd love it. It's so blue here, the wildflowers are blooming. I feel the most like myself, but then of course you knew that, didn't you? The hard winds hit my face, made me think of summers on the lake. I always wanted a fire, but the available light is enough. You taught me that I could always worry who I would become, while the world went on. Wild and beautiful. Mama, the disappointments got harder. My friends are starting to change, and all my old ways fell apart. But you said they would. You said they would. And I watched you walk through fire, still smiling, the hot wind in your face, the hot wind in your face. I had sun in my eyes, but the available light is enough. I had a hold of my time, but I finally loosened it up. And the world became wild and beautiful. So blue here.